Some of the messages are repeated. The message this morning is a similar message to what he has before. Understand, John wants to get you to know. He wants you to get to know all kinds of things. But the primary thing he wants you to know is whether or not you're going to heaven. Now, it's easy for us to automatically assume that we're going to heaven because we've done this or done that. Even because we have made a profession of faith. That is, we've accepted the fact that we are sinners. And we know that we're guilty before God. And the only thing that we can do as being guilty before God, the only thing we can do is to call upon His mercy. For He sent His one and only Son that we might live. He sent His Son to die on the cross, to be that propitiation for our sins. So that way when we put our trust in God's mercy and what Jesus did for us, we can have eternal life. These things I've written that you might know that you have eternal life and that believe that you may continue to believe. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verses 4 through 9, John talks about the big deal about sin. Sometimes people don't recognize the fact that they are sinners and need a Savior. Some people, on the other hand, having accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, have become callous and accepted what the world is doing and don't have the view of sin that God has. Sometimes we think sin is no big deal. Well, let me give you an example of that. Have you ever blamed somebody for something else that you are responsible for? A lot of times we don't think we're responsible, do we? Well, it's not my fault. It's the Republicans' fault. Or it's the Democrats' fault, right? Or it's not my fault, it's my spouse's fault. If they wouldn't have made me angry, right? My school's fault that I've got way too much homework to do. It's my coach's fault that the coach's fault that the team lost. That one hurts the worst, doesn't it, this morning? We blame other people for all kinds of things. You know what? We generally think we're innocent as part of that. We may be at times. What about this one? Did you complain over sometime this summer about it being too hot or too dry? Complaining is a sin. In fact, it's the sin that caused God to send poisonous snakes after the Jews, after the Israelites, because they complained about God. We complain about the weather, we complain about the food, we complain about bills. How about your habits, your addictions? Oh, there's always the big ones, tobacco, alcohol, and drugs. But what about other things that you participate in or eat or drink or that you watch or listen to that God would say isn't good for you? You see, we sometimes sin and don't consider it sin. And because we don't consider it sin, we don't deal with it. We don't do anything with it. We don't come before God and say, God, I surrender. You're right, this is sin. Unbelievers generally don't think too much about sin. It's no big deal. Everybody else is doing it. Some people have consciences, keeps them from going out and killing somebody or beating up their neighbor. But sin to them is a mistake. It's an error in judgment. It's no big deal. Everybody does it. But you know, sadly, we believers, if we're careful about thinking about ourselves, we're involved with sin more than we think we are. And we don't think it's any big deal. Look here. John is going to instruct us, God's going to instruct us through the pen of John. In verse 4 of chapter 3, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What is sin? We must know the evil of sin. What is sin? Think about all the different sins that we can do with our mouth, the way we said something, what we said, the gossip, the backbiting, the slander, the talking behind somebody's back. Think about the things that you can do. You could steal. You could kill. Think about the things you think. You could covet. You could lust. You could envy. Greed. Oh, there's all kinds of sins out there. But we often don't think of it as evil. I think sometimes we think it's okay. Well, we know there's real bad things to do. But what about some of those things that maybe we think is all right, but God says no? It says sin is lawlessness. To break the law. Here in our country, if you break the law, what happens? Well, you could get a fine, or you could spend time in prison, or if it is absolute serious, you could even go to the death penalty. Consider, how does God think about lawbreakers? His law. What happened to those people who broke God's law? In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15 it says, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. In chapter 20, I believe it's verse 6, he says, honor your father and your mother. And he says to break that law would mean to be put to death. Could you imagine how much better our society would be if our kids knew that if they were to talk bad or if they were to strike their parents, they could end up being in the death penalty? I think we'd save a lot of issues. Doesn't mean that we should all round up all our kids now and kill them all. But notice the way God saw it. Leviticus 24, verses 15 and 16, it says, say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. That is, if you see or hear OMG, oh my God, not as in reference to the Mighty One, but as a swear word, what was to happen? And we think that is the least offensive word. The entire assembly must stone him, whether he is a stranger or he is native born. And he when he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the Antichrist is called the lawless one. You thought about that? If you sin, you break God's law. Antichrist is called the lawless one. God is so serious about his law that the penalty is up to death. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I want you to see the way that this works when it's applied to us today. Because we look around at the world and we say there's so much lawlessness. And God is just letting it go. So God must not be too concerned about it. Sometimes that's the way we think in our life. If I do something that's a sin or maybe could be considered a sin, but I don't really consider it a sin. And God doesn't strike me dead, does that mean it's okay? Watch here, Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Let me use the NIV. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness towards you leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgments will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. 7. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger, for there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Is sin a big deal to God? It certainly is. Not only do we see that sin is a big deal to God, and he's going to bring judgment, even though you don't see it right away, or you don't see it happening right now, he says, guess what? It's coming. It's coming big. Think about a person that maybe is caught in a house, a cat burglar. And they're captured by the homeowner. What this cat burglar has done has been caught, and he will be prosecuted for. However, if he has done this 30 times previous, and they can link him to those 30 times previous, not only is he in trouble for that one time he's caught, all that he did before he's in trouble for too. Just because he didn't get caught to begin with doesn't mean the judgment wasn't going to come. God does know even the most hidden things in your heart. What do you think about other people? What do you say about other people? What kinds of things do you do? If you consider all this, where do you stand before God? Well, keep going here. I want you to see something. I want you to see that sin is lawlessness. But go down to verse 8 of 1 John chapter 3. Verse 8. First part of it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The devil from the beginning has sinned. When it talks about in Greek syntax, it's true in English, but you see it better in the Greek. It's talking about there's one point in time that the devil sinned, and he continues to sin even to this day. He's saying he continues to sin. This is the characteristics of Satan. Now look at your life. If you are living in sin, you are the characteristics of the devil. That's what he's pointing out here. That's something serious. You don't want that kind of character, do you? And a lot of times we think we're too righteous to have that character. And yet sometimes in doing so deceive our own selves. Do you understand that sin is a big deal? Oh, it's just a little white lie. Go back and think to yourself when the cart that carried the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was to be carried by the priest. It was not to be on a cart. But King David wanted it brought up to from where it was up to Jerusalem. And the way that they did it is they put it up on a cart. They sinned against God right then because they disobeyed what he said. Anytime something and it's sin. God had told them that they are not to touch the ark. Well, as it is traveling, you can see the ark bouncing along and starting to come the cart. And it's going to fall. So what would any normal human being do? What would you do? Well, I know what I would do. You put your hand on it to push it back up so it doesn't fall off. That's not real hard to figure out. And as soon as that man touched it, guess what? He dropped dead. Why? Because God said, now because of his grace and mercy, he doesn't strike us dead every time we do something wrong. But do you have the keen sensitivity to sin that you should have? How careful are you about what you say? How careful are you about what you think? How careful are you about what you do? Let's go back here to verse 4. The New King James, it reads, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, that is Jesus, to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Did you hear what or read what it says right there in the King James or New King James Version? Whoever abides in Christ does not sin. And whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Let me ask you a question. Have you sinned? And what does this verse say? I'm going to keep reading here. Hold on. We're going to come back to that. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil. For the devil is sin from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, if we just take it from the way the translators of those versions have written it, I hope what's coming to your mind is the same thing that comes to my mind. You mean I can't sin even once? In fact, this says it's impossible for me to sin? That's what's nice when you read a commentary, or if you do a little Greek study, you can find out how those words are used. There's a difference between the word itself and the way that it is used in the context. They have taken it and recorded it as it is written. Now listen to the NIV, which considers how that word is being used. And when you look at Greek, you can see that the NIV does take and use the words properly as it writes. I'm going to start in verse 5. But you know that when he appeared so that he might take away sins, that in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. You see the difference there? It is in the present active indicative. And the present active indicative, you don't really care about what it, but what it means is at the present am doing. So in other words, we need to not live in sin. He said, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. So no one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. He says here that sin is a big deal. if that sin is such a big deal that the Savior has been given. A Savior has been given. We need to embrace the Savior from sin. It says in the first part of 5, and you know that He was manifest to take away our sins. Your sin is such a big deal that God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. To take the penalty for your sins. That's who the Savior is, and that's what He did. Because your sin is such a big deal, it separates you from God. You can't go to heaven. But He sent Jesus Christ. He is the Savior from sin. It continues on in verse 5 and says, to take away our sin, in Him there is no sin. So He's also the example of righteousness. God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, because your sin is such a big deal that His Son died to take the penalty for it. His Son was sinless. He did not deserve to die. But He did. Not for His sin, but for your sin. And being righteous that way, He's the example that we should follow in righteousness. Did Jesus ever sin? In Him there is no sin. Nope, He didn't. Not once. He does not continue to sin. He never did sin. Not one single point in His eternal life has He sinned. He's perfect. That's the target that we are to follow, is the righteousness. He came to be that example and to destroy the power of sin, to take away our sins. He is the Savior from your sins. He came to die and take the penalty for it. He's the example of the righteousness, and He will destroy it. He says it here in verse 5. He says it in verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And we saw back in Romans chapter 2. Wrath is being stored up for those who are unrepentant. We see that sin is a big deal. We need to know the evil of sin. We see that there's a Savior, Jesus Christ, and we need to embrace Him. We need to make Him your personal Savior if He's not. Then we need to take and make Him priority in our lives, to follow His example. Finally, we need to live the freedom from sin. If the Savior has come to pay the penalty for our sin, the Savior is the example for our sin, and He's going to destroy the works of sin, what are we doing with sin in our own hearts and lives? Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Should we continue to sin if grace is greater than our sin? Then should we sin so that grace may abound? No way, Jose! That's the SRV. We died to sin. How shall we live any longer in it? Think about it this way. You go and have the kids clean the table nice and neat. And then tablecloth on and the flowers and set it all up. And then, and it looks all beautiful and wonderful, you tell them to go outside and play, roll around in the mud, especially their hands. So they go outside. Then you have them come in, and you have go put their hands and arms and legs all over the table. Mess it all up. Why would you do that? Here, you done set it all. Come mess it up. Jesus Christ, When you put your trust in Him as your Savior, He done set the table, made you all nice and clean. Did He do it so you can go play in the mud and dirty it up again? No. He set you free from sin. Don't live any longer in it. The saints have been saved from sin. You, that in verse 5, you know that He was manifested to take away your sin. He came to take away your sin. Who are we to mess it all up again? When we do sin as a believer, we found in chapter 1, we need to go before Him, confess our sins. And He is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, He takes away the penalty for our sin and restores and builds a relationship with us. We become His child. You know, as His child, we're still going to sin. That's true. But when we do sin, we should immediately feel that guilt. We should immediately, as we read God's Word, it comes to our mind, wait a minute, I'm wrong. We should come before Him and ask forgiveness for it. But if we don't, maybe we have to ask if we're really saved. See, the saved does not live in sin. Verse 6, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins neither sees Him nor knows Him. We are not to live in sin any longer. The NIV, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. Verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to live and to sin. Because God's seed remains in him, he cannot go on sinning because he's born of God. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, something happens. And what happens is the fact that God changes you. So you start feeling guilty when you sin. You know how it is when you're in your room or you're doing something, anything, and then the way you do it and how you do it all changes when someone's standing over your shoulder. You're more conscious about what you're doing. You don't want to look silly. You don't want to say something that would be inappropriate or make the other person think you're crazy. Normally, when you work on your yard, you're talking to yourself, right? You all do it. Don't say you don't. You're talking to yourself. Oh, yeah, I got to remember to do this and do that. Someone's over your shoulder. They're not doing that. You're not doing it anymore. Zach had a project this last week. He had to sit there and stare at me for an hour and record everything I did. Do you know how nerve-wracking that is? I behaved really well. But, you know, I got to where I wasn't thinking too much about him being there, and I was just doing my thing. But right at first, I was like, okay, I got to make sure not to shuffle the papers too much, or, you know, do something, because he's writing all this down. You know, am I making funny noises, or whatever it might be? Singing, I spared him of that. Makes you real conscious about what you're doing. You know, we've got the Holy Spirit living in our life. So that when we as God's children, when we sin, the Holy Spirit was, part of His job is to convict us of sin. He says, wait a minute, you shouldn't be doing that. You start feeling guilty. Ask yourself this. Here's a good human way to think of it. If the pastor was to come over to your house and watch you do that, would you do it? Would you be watching that television on your buddy? Seriously. The difference between you and I, as long as you put your faith in Jesus Christ, is that me to this position? Well, I'm nobody. They find out I'm a pastor. They'll clean up their, you know, out in the street. They'll clean up their language real quick. So Don't worry about me. You're not accountable to me. You're accountable to God. But I've been where you're sitting. Pastor, to come over to the house, would you play that video game? Say those kinds of things to your wife? Well, God's right there all the time. And he thinks your sin's a big deal. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Where are you? Are you living a life of righteousness? Or are you living in sin? What's your attitude? What kinds of things do you say? How do you say them? What kind of things are you doing? We've been changed by God. And if you start feeling comfortable in sin, watch out. Let God's word convict you on how evil sin is. As we look at the Savior and embrace him as our Savior and as our Lord, as the example we want to follow, as you recognize you are free from sin, don't live any longer in it. I challenge you, understand the big deal about sin and live in righteousness. Father, I ask that you'd help us do this difficult thing. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, so that way sin might be destroyed in us. We're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But Lord, I ask that you would help us strive. Strive to pay attention to your Holy Spirit's conviction. That you would help us strive to make sure that we are intentionally living righteously. Help us consider carefully the things that we say, do, and think, our motives and our attitudes, that we might honor you. Oh Lord, I ask this in your precious Son's name.